Good day. Time for a study with Stefania. And we'd also like to thank you for joining us here at the YahvaYahweh.name website and on Teddy's Media Radio. A study on faith and interpretation of the scriptures, commonly called the Bible. And if time allows, we'll get to the subject of salvation. Salvation is Jewish. But as far as the scriptures go, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5 initially here. How do we interpret the word? The word interprets itself, line upon line, here a little, there a little. We are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. We're not using the title G-O-D here, but Yahweh for the Father, and Yahosha for the Son. Yahosha for Messiah the Son, the one who died for us on the tree at Calvary. This is called Faith and Interpretation of Scripture. Here on Teddy's and Yahweh Yahweh. His word interprets itself. The word, the scriptures interprets itself, and we can't interpret ideas in scripture for ourselves. This would be wrong. And are we led by the Spirit? Faith does not come out of thin air. Our faith comes from studying and hearing the word of Yahweh. Let's look at Romans chapter 10 before we go to that. Galatians 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of Yahweh. So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. Faith comes by studying the word. It does not come out of thin air. Our faith comes from studying the word. Romans 10:17 there. I said it three times. That should be enough. And the Torah, or the law, does not save us. It is Yahweh's will for our life, and to walk orderly. We'll read there in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Actually, it was written, the book was written by Paul on the subject of circumcision, as is specified there in chapter 2 of Galatians, but not concerned with that. There's many other subjects that are mentioned here in Galatians 5. Looking at some of the bad things and the good. It says, Paul says in Galatians 5:18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. And you probably know most of these. The list here of sins: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Although some probably would wonder what these long $10 words mean. It means to use or misuse license to sin, to presume that it's okay to do this or that. All right, some of the others: idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, or zeal and jealousy, and wrath, strife, seditions, or divisions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, or revelings, of which I told you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. So when it's all over, we have to repent. We have to stop doing this. We have to stop breaking the Torah of committing these sins here. And they are pardonable if we repent and we ask the blood of Messiah, Yahusha, to forgive us for our offenses. They that do such things and make a practice of it, if we are, in the category of a sinner, a one who makes practice of sinning, and we will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. If we do incidental sinning, then, and we repent, and we are forgiven by Yahusha Messiah, then your salvation is in His hands. Your spirit, your soul, is in the hands of the heavenly Messiah. Praise Yah for that, for the offering He offered His life, His body, and even His blood on the tree at Calvary. And spent in the grave there 3 nights and 3 days. He paid the great debt so that we could live and have eternal life and resurrection. We can live forever. And that's what the word of Yahweh says. Yeah. If we were to just take that word out of thin air and have someone to convince us, well, how sure would that be? But if we hear him saying it in the word, that's a solid word. That's a true word from Yahweh. So we continue here in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, or Yahweh-likeness, faith, which we'll define further, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Yahusha Messiahs have impaled or crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We have to live and walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. The contentions, the rivalry, the overzealous competition, down with that. Excuse me. So what is Yahweh's will for our life? It's contained within the volume of the book. Yahweh's will is that we do not disobey His Torah. We read there Galatians 5:16, which said again, we didn't read that one. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. The Spirit of Yahweh opens our mind, and then we obey as we read the Word. Not, on the other hand, not this statement, I was led by the Spirit to do this, and make that our final authority, that I was led by the Spirit. So, we cannot say, so I was led by the Spirit, that we are to do the opposite. Now one person is doing it one way, one person is doing it the opposite way, and the whole theory falls apart. No, we can't set our own standards if we are just going by the doctrine of being led by the Spirit. We need to read the Word. Our faith is studying and hearing and walking in the Word of Yahweh, Romans 10:17. We can't set our own standards. So all it takes is two Spirit-led people who don't go by the Word, two Spirit-led people to disagree, and the whole concept falls apart of walking by the Spirit. We can see this in greater detail on www.sermonaudio.com and look for the speaker, Paul Vigiano, V-I-G-G-I-A-N-N-O. He's from Torrance, California, and he's a Sunday-keeping preacher, but he tells it like it really is. Paul Vigiano. Well, if you wish, go to my website, yahweh.name, and look for my article, Faith and Interpretation of Scripture. And then you'll probably wind up by having to email me, and then I'll send you the actual link. I don't know how many people are interested in these things. To do a little housekeeping here, I refer you to different websites. I referred you to KPJC in Salem, Oregon, and it seems like all they want to dwell on is the first book of the Scriptures, just the book of Genesis there, Bereshit, and they really don't want to teach the Word as to, you know, what is right and what is not. So we like to do that. There are some good speakers on KPJC, Hebrew Nation Radio, Hezekiah, in most of the areas, teaches very, very well, and teaches according to the Word. Okay, John 17. John chapter 17, verse 17. Is Yahweh's Word truth, or is it just that inner voice, the Spirit? Or is it circumstances, impressions and feelings, or hunches? Is that the truth? Or how about having a feeling of peace about something, about good fortune? Fleeces. Open doors. If the door opens, then we know that it's His will. If it closes, it's not. Are those methods to be taken as the final word? Or other methods to be taken as the gospel and the final word? An absolute? Or is the Scripture, or are the Scripture, the Scriptures, are they absolute? I would say, absolutely, the Scriptures are. But not just going by impressions, feelings, circumstances, hunches. that inner voice, the Spirit. They can't prove anything because somebody will come along and come up with the opposite. So they can't both be right. So one is in sin and one is not. One that with walking and that coincides, that agrees with the Scripture, that's the one who is right. In my opinion, I believe the Scripture. I believe that first before I believe a man. So open doors, good fortune, and fleeces, and having a peace about it, while they might be good, can they be relied upon to give us all the truth? No, the Word. It says, "Thy Word is truth," John 17:17. With no private interpretation. And Yahweh's Word says, repent. Of what? Of some wrong impression? Repent of some feeling? Well, the Torah defines what sin is, and we can find the Torah in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, which is addressed to not just priests. It's addressed to all Israelites, or those who have been grafted in, to the strangers, to all nations that are in the world today. 1 John chapter 3, for just one verse here that talks about what sin is and what we must do to walk properly in good behavior before our Heavenly Messiah. Now, we can't all do that. I don't always walk in proper behavior 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I'm still not labeled as a sinner because I don't make a practice of sinning. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, maybe. But 1 John 3 and then verse 4 says, "Whosoever commits sin transgresses the Torah," or the law. "Whosoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is..." What is it? "Sin is the transgression of the law." It also says in chapter 5, John, 1 John 5:13. I happen to know this because I read it. "Those things that I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of Yahweh," that's the Father, "that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of Yahweh," that's the Messiah, "on the name of the Son of Yahweh," the name of the Son of Yahweh, written there in 1 John 5:13. The name of the Son of Yahweh I believe to be Yahusha. Other people have different spellings and so on, but that's what we've come to in our study. So instead of inner voices as to being the moral absolutes, we have the revelation in the book of Yahweh, in the Scriptures, in the 66 books of Scripture, in Exodus chapter 20, where it says to keep the Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath. The Scriptures are confirmed by His pure Spirit. So here's where the Spirit comes in. The pure Spirit confirms that His Word is truth. It agrees with the Scripture. And then when we are filled with the Spirit, we agree with that. We agree that the Scriptures are true. We believe that. And then we submit to His authority. His Word interprets itself. We can't interpret ourselves what the Word means. It harmonizes. We take one Scripture here on this subject. On the same subject, we go to all the other places that we can find, look up that that particular subject. For example, on wealth, we could look all the Scriptures up about, is it okay to possess money? And then, yes, as long as we don't make an idol out of it. And it's the love of money that's the problem. We could look about divorce and remarriage in Mark 10:12, about the bill of divorcement. And then see where where the underlying principle and the fundamental principle of divorce and remarriage comes from. Deuteronomy 22. We could, about the resurrection of the Messiah, where would we find that? Where would we find the absolute about His death, burial, and resurrection when the Messiah, Yahusha, died for our sins and He was in the grave 3 nights and 3 days? We find that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. So we study. We should be studying 15 minutes every day, or each night, whenever you do this, at least. Some days, you're not going to be able to even make that, maybe. How about 1 minute for each day? Or how about 3 hours on a different day? That's what we're doing here today. I've fellowshipped with a couple of fine gentlemen this morning. And, you know, those of you who are dwelling in cabins or in tents, and then you're getting together with other believers, you're having a rich time of fellowship, and you can talk about spiritual things. You can talk about other things too, but our focus is upon Yahweh and His Word because we love Him. For those of you on Teddy's Media Radio, you can take a break right now. We'll be right back. And for those of you on YahwehYahweh.name, we're going to continue here without the music. And the issue now is our time, the time and the Sabbath. And we'll talk about, is the law Jewish a little later on. We're also going to encourage you about Scripture in Psalm 94. Excuse me. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Yahweh, and teach him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity under the pit, until the pit be dug for the wicked. So we need that rest. Blessed is the man who you chasten, O Yahweh, and you teach him out of your Torah, that you may give us rest. Oh, yes, it's a great benefit to receive Yahweh's rest and to be resting in Him so that we won't have an unhappy heart. Proverbs chapter 17, 22. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. That's something you don't want to have, is dried up bones, the dry bones there, Ezekiel 37. But that was Proverbs 17:22. In 1 Timothy 6, goodliness or Yahweh likeness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therefore content. You know, no matter if I'm up in the air and I'm all stressed out anyway. I'm unsettled. That was Ron Lee gave me that term there. If I'm unsettled, I need to have contentment with Yahweh likeness. Don't be unsettled. So we're going to continue here in the Word of Yahweh. And if you're hearing voices, that wasn't my fault. First Timothy said that having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Content in the Messiah. And looking up another scripture word here, thy word is truth. Of course, we read there in John 17:17. Nothing is inherently small in the scriptures. There are priorities, but all of it is important. Matthew 4:4, we are to live by every word of Yahweh. And even 1 Corinthians 11, by all the scriptures, we're to live by every word. No, we don't do sacrifices of animals for our sins, because Messiah is our offering. That he gave us, he added to the law that about sacrifices and sin offerings, carnal washings and ordinances. So study every day for 15 minutes. Time is important. And my screen went to something else, so I've got to get rid of that. Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I don't need to know that right now, though. My computer telling all kinds of... Oh, boy. I hope it doesn't create a problem. But I, as far as time, I try to cut out some of the outside factors and walk in the Torah, which does not save me, but it is the evidence that I am saved. I walk in His law as evidence. I can cancel, to save time, I can cancel the newspaper, which I've probably never taken anyway, but I can save 19 hours a month alone on not always going to the sports page. 19 hours a month, 40 hours a month by not reading it at all. And it'll free us from things and give us time to spend with Yahweh, spend time to meditate and and love Him and praise Him. We should praise Him at least 52 Sabbath days and 12, sometimes 13 new moons or months. 52 Sabbaths per year, 13 new moons or 12 or 13 every year, and 19 actual feast days, which total the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the feast days. It's total about 84 days there per year. What will define what you can do or cannot do? Okay, so you admit now, according to the Torah in Exodus 20 and Hebrews 4 in the New Testament, and Paul in Acts 13:42 in many places, you admit the Sabbath is still in effect. But nevertheless, it seems like you're saying, Yahweh does not know how to tell us in this modern age how to keep the Sabbath. The days have been changed, and who knows what the truth is anyway. Kind of like moral relativism. But what is defined as doing good? If we don't even read the Torah, if we don't know, or if there wasn't a Torah, we would not know what doing good would be. We wouldn't know the definition. The concept of grace and westernized grace with no law and no restrictions is wrong. If we look at Ezekiel 36:26, the Spirit and the Torah, the Spirit and the law are both spoken about there in the same breath. So I'm looking that up now in Ezekiel. I don't want to get you distracted here. I just out of the corner of my eye there. 36:26. He's going to sprinkle clean water upon us, and we'll be clean from all our filthiness, from our idols, our idolatry. When I cleanse you, a new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So a new heart and a new spirit. We need that new spirit if we're not saved yet, and we need the new heart. If we're saved, then we have that heart of flesh, that new heart, new spirit. And in verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Also in the next chapter, verse 24, 37, 24, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. We need to tabernacle with Yahweh and do his word. How about back to 11, chapter 11, that is, verse 19. A study with Stephaniah here. 11:19, if I didn't forget. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes. So we have to keep reading here. We can't just stop there where the nominal Protestant preacher would. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people. And I will be their mighty one. I will be not G-O-D, but I will be Yahweh there. So we read from Ezekiel chapter 11. Verses 19 and 20. So there has to be restrictions and standards, moral standards, even including our time and our activities, our behavior. It's all an act of love as we give it to Yahweh. We give him our time and our talents. And then he, in return, not as a carrot before the stick, carrot on the stick before the horse, not as something like that to try to bribe or lure us, but as a blessing. He just gives us automatically a blessing when we follow the Savior. Paul Vigiano also has a good study on that. What is a blessing? Part 2 is especially there. If you'd like to get that audio study, give me a call there. Deuteronomy 28, or Devarim 28. A practice of disobedience yields curses. Well, you'd have to read the whole chapter. I don't want to go through that right now at this moment, so let's go to Psalm 19 instead, okay? But I'll Now I'll just highlight it in Devarim or Deuteronomy, Devarim being the Hebrew. Show that I'm really, So all these curses are listed here in chapter 27 of Deuteronomy. Cursed be he that perverts the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow, and all the people shall say, Hallel Yahweh. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife because he has covered his father's skirt, and all the people said, or father's bed instead of skirt there. And cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and the people shall say, Hallel Yahweh. And in chapter 28, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh, thy mighty one, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that Yahweh, thy mighty one, will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh, thy mighty one. You'll be blessed in the city, the fruit of your body, the fruit of thy ground, will be prosperous. The fruit of our cattle, blessed be thy basket. But these are not just Old Testament blessings. The word applies to us everywhere, at all times, yesterday, today, and forever, because that is what our character, our Yahweh, is consistent. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:6. And then if we disobey, in verse 14 there, and if thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other Elohim to serve them. But it shall come to pass that if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed thou shalt be in the field, cursed shalt be thy basket and thy store, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine or cattle, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And on and on, a lot of curses there of material things. 22. Yahweh will smite thee with a consumption and with a fever, with an inflammation. See, we're always going down to the doctor and getting those crazy pills. We'll talk about that later on some other broadcast there, about your drug may be your problem, that Christians are taking drugs, and over the counter, they don't even know they're bad for them. And we've been doing this ignorantly. So someday, look for that file, Your Drug May Be Your Problem, that should be coming up at any time now. With a sword, with blasting, with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. We've been reading from Deuteronomy 28. A practice of disobedience yields curses, just automatically. And then that Psalm 19, where we hear about, let's go to Psalm 19, about the law and about his creation. We hear from the critics that it's wrong to be a scripture or a Bible thumper, a scripture thumper, but a scripture thumper reads and lives Yahweh's word. He reads, confesses, and lives Yahweh's word. The heavens declare the glory of Yahweh, or the esteem of Yahweh. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And we'll skip, their line has gone out. We'll skip the law to line 7. The Torah, the law of Yahweh, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. Next verse, verse 8. 19:8, the statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. So far we've got the law is perfect, testimony is sure, statutes are right, commandment is pure. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh, that's the judgments found in Exodus 21, 22, 23, various laws on our relationship with others, and most of all with Yahweh, in keeping his three feast days, and all seven. Ultimately, the judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. They are more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, And in keeping of them, there isn't any reward at all. No, I'm putting my own interpretation in there, but it correctly says, in keeping of them, there is great reward. But the nominal preacher will tell you that there isn't any reward at all, that the law is to be shunned. Well, they're wrong, because here it says the opposite. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. How do we keep those feast days that are specified in Leviticus 23? And they are talked about in the future in Isaiah 66:23, not only yesterday, not only today, but in the future. Isaiah 66:23, every from one Sabbath to another, and from one new moon to another, in the future shall all flesh come and worship or praise before me, saith Yahweh. Each year the family travels to peaceful places. Oh, wait a minute, we need a little music here first, don't we, before we go on to this subject. So, Teddy, take a break there. Mr. Ron Lee, and then we'll be right back.
And
on YahvahYahweh.name, this is Stephan Yah.
And
we are talking about the feasts now as kind of part three on this kind of, yes, on faith and interpretation of Scripture. How do we keep the feast? How do I do this? It's going to be rather short. Explanation there, short explanation. How do I keep the feast? Each year, a family travels to peaceful places to praise Yahweh, to hear inspiring preaching and sing and fellowship and have big meals together. It's hard to imagine a feast being called bondage. But they do call it that. No, not the feast keepers, but the anti-law, the anti-nomenian, anti-lawless, the anti-law people, who say that the commandments are least. They minimize the Scriptures. This doesn't apply, that doesn't apply, nothing does. You know, the moral relativism. Anyway, the main problem some have with Yahweh's law is the call to assemble together, his call to congregate on the new moons and Sabbath days. Zechariah 14, Leviticus 23, and then I mentioned Isaiah 66:23. What is Zechariah or Zechariah? Let's read that. In the last chapter, that 14, Zechariah 14. Thumbing through here. This will be the future now. This has not happened yet, and it will. It's going to happen. We can start out here. A little early to kind of set the theme, the time period, in Zechariah 14, verse 7. So he's all the saints are coming with him. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to Yahweh, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day, this is the future, that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinter sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. Two seasons there. So, and some places have four seasons, I guess. Some have three. But it'll be two seasons in Jerusalem, huh? Especially when it comes to pass. 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts. Yahweh, not L-O-R-D, but Yahweh of hosts, or Yahweh of armies, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up, the families and so on, it gives a punishment there for that. Well, I think that's enough said. And I quoted Isaiah 66:23 already from the top of my head, that in the millennium, the new moons will be kept, and the Sabbath days will be kept. in the future, in the heavens. If we want to go to be with Yahweh, we need to fellowship with Him, and love Him, and obey Him and keep His word. Right? See Leviticus 23 for that. That's written to all of us. And when is the right time to keep them? Well, first of all, we determine the new year. The revolution of the year determines that, the new year, the new moon. We look for the first crescent of the moon. And I can look on a website, if it's cloudy out, I can look on a website. And even though the truthofyahweh.org, even though they deal more in a southern hemisphere, which Jerusalem is not located, they're more in the north. They are, you know, that's where the law is, goes from Zion. But truthofyahweh.org, I would trust that for when the new moon is kept, as long as they're listing areas that are in the northern hemisphere that have spotted the first crescent of the new moon. They have witnesses around the world that report in. There are other websites too, but truthofyahweh.org. Y-A-H-W-E-H is how that one is spelled. But we don't use that rendition of his name. We use Yahweh properly. Who chooses to place his name there. He tells us, well, the leader of the group will decide where we will meet. And we save money. We save the second tithe that's found in the scriptures there in the book of Numbers, for example. That we save up around. You know, for the year, we save a tenth of our income and go to these feasts, which are not a vacation, but it's kind of like a vacation. And then, how do we find out who is keeping the feasts and how we should do it? Well, we could meet with other groups. They may not have all the truth, but Elijah, you know that word. So Elijah.com has a list of feast-keeping organizations and people from around America, mostly from the North America. Eliyah.com, that's Eliyah.com, is a list of feast keepers. Many messianic groups are about the same. So you, wanting to walk without compromise, you can learn enough from them, and then you may be able to have your own group. So that's a little there. That's my rendition about the feasts. Then we want to talk about the covenant briefly here. We do want to talk about it because, you know, if we don't have a covenant with him, well, why would we even do these things? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. We read this in the love of Yahweh. Ephesians 2, that at that time you were without Messiah, you were without Yahusha, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and we are strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without the Mighty One in the world. Literally, you were without Messiah. You were aliens from the covenants of promise. To complete that thought, now if you have the true Messiah, you are not strangers to the covenants of promise. You have been grafted into the good olive tree to Messiah. Yahusha, Messiah, you've been grafted into him, to the true olive tree. Read Romans 11 about that, the olive tree there, although some think it applies to Israel only. I like to apply it to Messiah specifically, generally. Then Daniel chapter 9 about Yahweh's covenant. Boy, this looks like a deep study, but I've got Daniel, Luke, Acts, and Romans, and I think one more, so... okay, right after Ezekiel, we find Daniel chapter 9 and verse 4. As I turn there for you, so it's just one verse. I prayed unto Yahweh, my mighty one, and made my confession and said, O Yahweh, the great and dreadful mighty one, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. This is written in Old Testament times. But, you know, people say, well, love was not a factor in the... Yes, it was. It was to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Written in the Torah there. Keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spoke in thy name, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and all the people of the land. So I think we probably stop there. A strong prayer there in the book of Daniel chapter 9. And somewhere that's Jeremiah who's praying there. It's not Daniel, it's Jeremiah. A prayer of Jeremiah about our rebellion and to not observing Yahweh's covenant. We're covenant breakers, it says there in Romans 11:27. Yeah, we could go there. Romans 11 is not that far away. It's just a grasp out here in the scriptures, a grasp in the universe, I guess. No, I don't think so. 11:27. Thank you for joining me here. This is Stephan Yah. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. But there are where are the covenant breakers? They're found in chapter 1 of Romans. It goes through a whole list of evil deeds, even that are being promoted by our North American government right now. And haters, proud inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, reprobate, and fornicators. But without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of Yahweh, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only they do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. How even in our schools they're promoting wicked deeds of sodomy. And not every school, but in many, many. Let's go to Zechariah's prayer, Luke chapter 1. That'll get me out of a tight spot there. Oh, I don't... doesn't bother me that much anyway, not yet. 172 is Zechariah's prayer. Zippity doo dah. Let's see. Zechariah is praying here to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his pure covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham. Zechariah was filled with the Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit, and prophesied when he saw Messiah as a babe. And then, as well, we go to Acts 3:25. Try to keep these all close, adjacent to one another here, so that we don't just have to jump all over and take too much time. Well, then we wouldn't be able to load up our file if it was that big. 3:25 of Acts, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which Yahweh made with our fathers. You are the children of the prophets. That's you who are listening there. The children of the prophets and of the covenant which Yahweh made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, the I Am said, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first Yahweh, having raised up his son, Yahosha, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Can we do that? Can we be turned away from our iniquities? And Zechariah prayed to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his pure covenant. Now I can turn back to Deuteronomy 4:13, way back at the beginning of scriptures here. And also chapter 7. So Deuteronomy 4, chapter 4 there, verse 13 says, and he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. 10 commandments, including, in the King James and some modern versions like that, they use the word even. So it would tend to make us think that the covenant is the 10 commandments. That is not true. Because there's more than 10 commandments. There's statutes and judgments. So that, see right there. But there's more than that. There's the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7. There's the book of the Revelation. There's much more than just the Ten Commandments, but he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform even Ten Commandments, or including Ten Commandments. So it says Ten Commandments. It says there are ten. And he wrote them upon two tables of stone. And Yahweh commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. And that was not the added law. The added law was the sacrifices that were not good, the sacrifices for sin offerings that cannot remove the guilt only temporarily. So briefly, we have been talking about the covenant here. Let's go to final two verses on that. Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10. And that's in the new so-called New Testament, the New Scriptures. And remember, my email is stephanyah@yahweh.name. On Teddy's, hit the contact button. And then there's a line there. You can also click on that, and it will take you a method to get in touch with Ron Lee, the owner of Teddy's. Hebrews 8, verse 6. And now he has obtained, that's the Messiah, Yahusha, now Messiah has obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. And then verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. So that's us. Romans 11, we've been grafted in. We're strangers, or we're homeborn. And he will make the covenant with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws into their mind and write them on their hearts. So how do we start that out, though? That he obtained he's the mediator of a better covenant established upon better promises. And then he goes on to say in verse 10, a couple of verses later, this is the covenant. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a mighty one, and they shall be to me a people. So I will be to them a mighty one or a king, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and so on. Because know you, Yahweh, for you already know me, he says, from the least to the greatest. That time is coming. Chapter 10, verse 16. It's just a repetition in Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. And about all the way through that, okay? To verse 29 in Hebrews 10. This is the word of Yahweh. We could all be standing if you would like. If you're at the feast and you're standing there, then you don't need to do anything different. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. So the remission of these would be Yahusha the Messiah has remitted our sins by his death burial on the tree at Calvary 2,000 years ago. It's a historical fact even. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the purest by the blood of Yahusha, into the Mikodesh, by the blood of Yahusha, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us, or separated for us, through the veil, that is to say, through his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of Yahweh, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And just checking up on something here. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling or convocation of ourselves together, not forsaking that, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching, as you see the end times approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more offering for sins. Yahweh is no longer effecting his forgiveness for our sins if we don't repent. If we sin willfully after, you know, and now be careful, don't condemn yourself if you've inadvertently committed another sin just like the last one. And then you've done it again, and now it's years later, and you keep doing it. Well, you just haven't received the Spirit yet to overcome that. Or maybe you're rebellious, but I don't want to say that. So if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more offering for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Oh, I don't need to explain that. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Two or three witnesses may every word be established. Of how much more sore punishment do you suppose shall he be thought worthy? How much more punishment shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of Yahweh and has counted the blood of the covenant? The blood whereby he was set apart, he counted the blood an unpure thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. I'll read it the way it says there in the King James, and then I'll correct some of those words. How'd that be? Maybe that'd be better. And we're 50 minutes into this broadcast on YahvehYahweh.name. Actually, we're longer than that on Teddy's, but of how much more sore punishment do you suppose shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of Yahweh and has counted the blood of the covenant whereby he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace? So I would correct that by saying that who has counted the blood of the covenant whereby he was set apart an unpure thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of his unmerited free favor. Shalom on that. Oh, praise Yahweh for that. Hebrews. I close the book there. We want Hebrews 13:20. And then I would like to share some other scriptures with you that are encouraging as well. What does that say in 13:20? It's not once saved, always saved, that's for sure. But 13:20, now the mighty one of peace that brought again from the dead Yahushua HaMashiach, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may he make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Yahushua HaMashiach, to whom be esteem forever and ever. Hallel Yahweh. That's a good prayer there. Hebrews 13:20 and 21. The mighty one of peace, or shalom, that brought again from the dead our, and not L-O-R-D, but brought our master, Yahushua, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And we're to strive to be perfect. You always hear that saying, no one is perfect, and so give up, you know, don't even try. Oh, that's an error there. That's really a comment that seems to come from a heart that's kidding himself. Someone's kidding themselves. They're being hypocritical by saying that you can never be perfect, so why even try? Oh, we had that thing on the poem about the law. We had that poem here, with a thing, I called it. But, let me see here. Okay, that's not it. This is it. The poem goes like this. It's about 2 minutes long or so. When we present Almighty Yahweh's law and arguments from the scriptures we draw, objectors say to pick a flaw, the law is Jewish. Though at first Almighty Yahweh blessed and set apart his day of rest, the same belief is still expressed, that's Jewish. Though with the word this rest began in Genesis 1, and then through all the scriptures ran, Yahushua said, 'twas made for man. But the Sabbath is Jewish, they say. It's Jewish. If from the scriptures we present the Sabbath's meaning and intent, this answers every argument. It's Jewish. Though the disciples, Luke and Paul, continued with this rest to call the Sabbath day, this answers all. It's Jewish. The Gospels or the Evangels taught a plain expression that sin is of the law transgression. seems not to make the least impression on them. It's Jewish. They love the rest of man's invention. That's the Sunday, venerable day. But if Almighty Yahweh's day we mention, this puts an end to all contention. It's Jewish. Well, those who Yahweh's day abuse, simply because 'twas made for the Jews, the Savior too, they must refuse, for he's Jewish. Praise Yahweh. Thank you for joining us today, Stefan Yah, sharing here in the Word. And if you're in grief today, I'd like you to be encouraged by this, Romans 8. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or messengers, principalities, or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in Yahusha HaMashiach, our King. Also in Isaiah 25, speaking about eternal life, speaking about our future, Yahweh will swallow up death in victory, and Yahweh will wipe away tears from off all faces. Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death in victory, and Yahweh will wipe away tears from off all faces. He also said, Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Psalm 9, Yahweh also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. He is our source of joy. I will praise Yahweh according to his righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Most High. Psalm 7, 17. Psalm 7, 17. Thank Yahweh for his blessings. Without you, Yahweh, my life would be weighed down by sin. So I begin and end by praising your righteousness. Thy righteousness, actually. Thou art my righteousness. Magnificent, estimable King of Kings, the only one who heals my sin. I know my joy today comes from thy hand, and I will thank thee for it. I so much appreciate thy blessings that have brought here to me and to my fellow sisters and brothers. I thank thee for them. May my words today show that I recognize thee as the source of all good things. I appreciate thy mercy toward me. Thank you, Yahweh, for sharing my joy as well as my sorrow. Be with me in every moment of this, of our time on earth, and of this life, and of the life to come. Hallel, Yahweh. A study with Stefan Yah. Shalom.